G'day everyone, welcome back to this week's edition of the FPL Oz podcast. Well, the full gamut is restored. All three boys are back. Great to have everyone back in the chair after another good week, another green arrow week for the fellas. Maiko, welcome back, son. We thought we'd lost you there for good. Great to see you. Great to see that smiling face. How are you feeling?
Thanks, Camo. Good to be back. The show was poorer for my absence last week's after listening to it. So good to be back with the train back on the rails.
The boy, great to have you too.
Did you say the full gamut? The full gamut.
Yeah.
Never heard that word, but it's good to hear and it's good to be back.
Google
it's
search.
Good to see Maiko back.
Quick Google search from the show started from Camo.
just trying to add a bit of class to the this program.
I was happy with that intro, just like I'm happy with your form, Camo. We put you under the microscope, but you're on fire.
Yeah, back to the last year's ways, which is pretty happy. I was thinking I was a one season wonder, but the last few weeks and made some shrewd decisions and seen me back. Still 600k, but another 400k rise. I think the microscope, it's fixed two men now. I wonder who needs it this week to maybe kickstart their season.
I've got someone that I'm putting under the microscope and hopefully it kickstarts his season just like it kickstarted yours and mine. And as you're seeing on Twitter from a lot of people, it was Tony the Phony. It's a fucking disgrace, really. He's in everyone's team. He just keeps rising in price. I'm not sure what he is right now, but everyone's jumping on him because of his fixtures. And I'm going to be honest, I haven't really watched him that closely in the last 3 or 4 weeks, but it doesn't really matter because we're talking in an FPL sense here and he's not returning. He's becoming Rian Brewster 2.0, as you pointed out the other week. It's 5 blanks in a row, 37 points in 11 games, 3 games into a 5-week stretch where people probably thought he was just about the best forward in the game to buy. And he literally hasn't fired a return. So he's onto the microscope for me.
I've got him on the block this week. Something we'll go into a bit later about what my transfer plans are. But, yeah, I've got him on the block. It's just even at 6.4, 6.5, whatever he is, the lack of returns against the teams that he should be returning against when other forwards have got better fixtures that we could be going with. And, yeah, we'll talk about who I'm eyeing off a bit later. But, yeah, I've got him on the block this week and the microscope's fixed a few blokes so far this season and hopefully Tony's the next man in line. Camo, just talk us through your week and your score, mate.
So 72 for me this week. So pretty happy. I started well and after the 7 a.m. Southampton game, I was already messaging in to you boys saying, look at that the overall ranking rise. So I was getting ahead of myself, but pretty happy with McCarthy in goals, 9, few bonus and save points. Livramento, he came on for Tierney. So I probably should have started him as I think Jackery was having a go at me on Twitter for. So got him in the end, thankfully. TAA with 12, which was beautiful. Rudiger and Chilwell. Disappointing to only get 2s from them, especially when I went for that differential of Chilwell captain. And then Salah, De Bruyne, Gallagher, Rafinha and Trossard, who was the man I brought in this week. And he had really served me well. I know it was a penalty, but a goal's a goal and 3 bonus as well. So really happy with that acquisition. And then Tony, the lone striker up front with only 1. Had Armstrong on the bench get his 9. So maybe he's going to start to become a good option. But, I mean, it was in the 3rd minute and they didn't score another one after that. So read into that, watch your will. But
very,
as I said,
stiff camo with the differential captain. Like, I think Chilwell, whatever minute they conceded up until then, Chilwell had 2 bonus as well as a clean sheet. So you're looking at a 16-pointer there compared to Mo's. What did Mo come home with, 10, I think?
Yeah, 5.
Yeah, it's the 1 assist. Assist.
And 10, the most ridiculous assist you'll see, but pay it. I thought that was pretty stiff. Like, I think they got him on the counter, obviously. But, yeah, Chilwell was 8-pointer up until right towards the end. So very stiff when you put your balls on the line on a big week against Salah and it nearly paid off. What about you, the boy?
Because what was he about? 93, 98% of the top 10K managers had yeah. most captain. So I was pretty nervous going into the Liverpool game that he was going to go off, but thankfully
the way you were carrying on, I thought it was going to be you up in the 10K, but still at 600, which is interesting. So we'll be keeping a lid on my carry on, unlike you, for the next couple of weeks.
Build the hype.
How'd you go, the boy?
Yeah, eight rises in a row, which is extremely, extremely pleasing. That those eight magical greens have taken me from 1.2 million now into 41K. So the rises are getting smaller as obviously just general maths means has to happen. But yeah, 56K into 41K thanks to a 66. So pretty conventional side, as we were talking about the other week. There's not too many shocks, but there's a few guys that you just have to have that were the backbone of those points. It was Cancelo and AA, who I'll talk a bit more about a bit later, but that's 26 of my points right there. Mendy and Rudiger rode the luck of the Chelsea clean sheet that didn't happen against Burnley, but I think Mendy's given me clean sheets every week since I've had him, so that was going to happen eventually. He's probably done his time now, since he cost so much. And then through the midfield, I had Foden and Son with blanks. Salah as the captain with that assist. Rafinha and Smith Rowe both got returns. And then Jimenez and Tony up front, 2 and 1. Livramento, first bench, got 6, but probably justified not playing him just with how well my defenders went. And I had to play all my mids because they had good fixtures. But, probably got my transfers wrong this week for the first time this year. I spoke about with Camo last week, there were 3 transfers I wanted to do, and I was going to do 2 of them last week and 1 of them this week, and I probably just did them the wrong way around in the end because Livramento was good enough to play on the field, so I should have just backed him in and kept Havertz, who went out and obviously scored. But then again, I thought Son would be a bit better against Everton, but looking at the stats, he literally didn't even nearly threatened to return. So it's pretty disappointing and pretty concerning going forward. But
he's playing as a wingback, mate.
Yeah. Well, the pitches clearly show that he's not really getting even as forward as Reguilón at some points. For whatever reason that is, it's quite bizarre. But Antonio Conte obviously knows a bit more about the game than I do. So I'll back him in for a few weeks and just be disappointed in a FPL sense. But yeah, really happy to be 41K after 11 weeks. I think I'm in a good spot to, as the year goes on, if I can keep being consistent and people that don't religiously follow the game start missing a few game weeks and that, who knows, maybe I could hopefully push for Camo's all-time record amongst us, which was about 5K. So that's the target for the year. There's still 27 weeks to go, but I'm in a good spot to challenge that. What about you, Mike? I think you'd quit the game with 1 night to go in the game week, hadn't you?
Yeah, it was a tale of 2 nights for me, very much so this weekend. So just to look, it finished off with a rise of 100K into 750K. So all's well that ends well. But it started a bit of a roller coaster week for me this week. Started with contemplating the bench boost pretty heavily. So I rolled my 2 transfers this week and went in with Diaz, Gallagher and Gray on the bench. And then so I was contemplating then using one of my trades to upgrade Ward, who's my keeper on my bench, to a playing keeper and bench boosting. And looking back, it was probably the thing to do. So with just Diaz, Gallagher and Gray on my bench, I had 20 points. And then with a keeper, who knows what that could have been. So, and I'm at the moment, what I am, 750K, I'm 15 points out of the top 500K. So if I had an extra 20 there, then that brings me right in. So yeah, I woke up, watched the game on Saturday night in Australia time, City versus United, and watched Diaz get a clean sheet on my bench, which was tough to see first up, and then went to sleep and woke up in the morning with 11 points on my field from 5 players, and saw some other scores around and just thought, no, that's it. this is my season over. I can't believe that it's coming to an end this way. And then held on for dear life that night and then got 46 points from my next 6 players to take me up to a 57 this week. So returns from Ramsdale in goal with 7 with a bonus point, White 8 with 2 bonus points, 2 clean sheets between the two of them against Watford, Alexander-Arnold obviously, Salah captain, Rafinha, And then De Bruyne let me down again, so he'll be going this week. And then the front line of Tony, Jimenez and Broya, all blanks. Broya was disappointing considering he came on for 10 minutes and got a one-pointer when I had Diaz and Gallagher sitting on the bench, which could have made it actually a really, really good game week for me. So, look, all's well that ends well, as I said, in the end, with an 100K rise. But a bit disappointing, pretty tough pill to swallow considering I left so many points on my bench with some pretty disappointing results, especially in the forward line. Like, I think the forwards are a tough spot at the moment to pick. Are you boys? I don't know if you boys are finding that, but just like obviously my forwards 1, 2, and 1, and I think I saw a stat that there was 4 forwards in the game who had a shot on target or a big chance or a shot on target on the weekend, something like that. So I'm finding it pretty tough in that.
I'm pretty happy having Dane Scarlett. Like, I reckon. Like you said, the forwards are doing nothing, so I may as well spend as little money as I can on the third one because you don't really need them at the moment, do you? Just the way it's panning out for whatever reason.
Yeah, you're better off paying spend the money down back, really. Like Cancelo was obviously scored big. The Chelsea defenders, if you could get James and Chilwell, like you're flying. Trent, he's just a must-have. And then even through the middle, you could spend a bit more, especially now with this sort of with Jota and those sort of guys starting to come into a good run. So I've got,
I reckon, just because they're not giving penalties anymore as well. Like Tony is a good example. Like last year, you would have thought, Tony's pretty good and he plays for a decent team and he's on penalties because they were giving a penalty every 5 minutes last year, really, at one stage. But that's not happening anymore. And obviously, the big strikers tend to take a lot of teams' penalties. So you take that away has been quite significant, I think. It's obviously not a non-factor. If someone's on penalties, it's a good thing to give them the edge if you're tossing two things up. But it's not the be-all and end-all. Like, there was one point last year where people were saying, pick a team of players that take penalties and you'll be right. But that's definitely not the case anymore.
I'd love to know the stats on what the penalties have been this year. Like, I don't know them off the top of my head, but geez, it feels like there's hardly been any. Like, obviously, Trossard had one on the weekend, but otherwise, there's just hardly been any. What about in terms of individual performances and team performances, boys, who caught the eye camo for you?
I think Pookie, he caught my eye, and even Norwich in general. I know the boy you said to me, settle down. I was contemplating my captain. Well, no, during the week you said... put the C on Tony, they'll go big. But I replied with, I reckon this could be the one they get. So, but I think, he's going to take penalties. He is their main man. I think if they're going to score goals, he's probably going to be involved in nearly all of them. And they've got Southampton, Wolves and Newcastle in their next 3. Given that
new coach, new manager coming for Norwich as well. Like,
new manager.
I don't know what that'll mean. They're saying it might be Frank Lampard. I don't think he'll die wondering, so that could be good for Timu and also very good for Billy Gilmore. If Lampard does get the job, you can almost guarantee.
Do you think it's one that Frank needs to take, though? Like, I don't know why. Like, considering I think he's in the conversation for the Aston Villa job as well, like, you'd be throwing it. Like, what's there to gain in terms of Norwich? Like, do you think they're getting someone to try and stay up, or do you think they're getting someone to try and reload again in the championship and come back? Because it's not that it's a full lost cause at the moment, but, like...
Well, that could be why Dean Smith got sacked, to have probably more interesting chat than FPL. Maybe Dean Smith got sacked because Aston Villa don't want him to go to Norwich. Because you could argue Dean Smith was pretty quickly ironed, considering Aston Villa have been quite good over the last few years. So I haven't really thought about that, but that's probably a good chance. So watch this space and hopefully we've caught it. But obviously clearly Aston Villa is a better option for Lampard. But anyway, whoever goes to Norwich will obviously be a watch for Pookie and Gilmore as well. It's a bit farcical, really, that he wasn't playing. I think Farke said that Norwich aren't there to be a development ground. And no, they're not. That's fair enough. But they are there to play as good a team as they possibly can. And the owner decided to bring him in on loan, so surely you play him.
Yeah.
But again, he knows a bit more about the game than me.
Another one, Camo, from Norwich, the midfielder, is Matthias Norman. Is that a 4.5 midfielder, scored a goal on the weekend, pretty good goal. And he looks like he's got a lot of class. Like, and their next, as you said, their next three fixtures are two. But he's it looks like if him and Pukki are going to be the ones that are going to be involved anyway.
Yeah, I think he's an option. Probably just in the midfield. There's options in that five to six. 6.5 million space and price point. That I think you're better off just spending that extra nine on. And maybe rolling with Pukki up front. I think there's so much. But if you're strapped for cash, if you're trying to get a Kane or a Son in, and even like a Ronaldo, maybe you're thinking that United fixtures you're keen to target, then that could be a really good option to free up a bit of funds through the midfield. There's certainly nothing wrong with a good 4.5 there or up forward like the boy has with Dane. Who do you think the boy? I know you've keeping a close eye on a few men. Who caught your eye this week?
As I said, I got my transfers wrong last week, and that's because Lamptey should have been in. Should have gone early. As I said, he's just too good to stay out of that Brighton team any longer once he was fit. And well, even better, like Christmases, I think I said that fans of other clubs were saying they should get him so that they can play him on the wing as a forward. And well, Brighton have done that themselves because Veltman stayed at right wing back, and Lamptey played very much as a forward. The heat maps were there to show it, that, the defenders were behind him. He didn't even think about defending, really. He had three shots, two shot assists, and, always tried to run with the ball when he had it. So he's a 4.4 million defender on the game, and he's going to hopefully keep playing as a forward for Brighton. So, at 4.4 million, he can sit on your bench, and, we'll quite happily have him and Livramento both in the team to go with, three of the gun right backs from those big clubs. I think that's a good way to have your back five, really. You can play them all if you want, and you can have those two on the bench ready to come in if there's rotation. But I think pretty quick you'd be putting Lamptey on the field because he's got Aston Villa, Leeds, West Ham, Southampton in his next four. So he's going to be a massive attacking threat. Brighton are a pretty good defence, so he's going to get those clean sheet points, even though he's probably going to have nothing to do with the clean sheets. And even if they are conceding, Camo, you said to me during the week, his goals are worth 6 points because of where they've graded him. So Tariq Lamptey caught my eye, and I was very, very impressed with him. What about the Palace boys? The Trap himself, Wilf, and Conor Gallagher, both on the score sheet. What do we think of that?
I know Camo's got a particular hatred for Wilfred Zaha, but no, I just don't see in what sense you'd be going Zaha. Like, the only way you'd think you'd be going Zaha is if you've already got Gallagher and you're doubling up on Palace, which just seems unlikely. So I think, what's the saving on it? I think Zaha's about 7 million, is he? Something like that. And Gallagher's now
6.9.
Yeah, and I've got Gallagher in my team. I've had him for a while, but I think I got him at 5.6, but he might be 5.8 or something now. So, like, it's just, it'd be completely bizarre, really. Like, it'd be a bit of the only reason you'd do it if it was a bit of a punt. That's the only way I could see it. Otherwise, you go on Gallagher and he's your Palace asset. But Camo, has he been able to completely swing your perception of him around?
Nah, definitely not. Not after last year. I think the last 2 years I've brought him in, he's looked cherry ripe, and then he gets injured, he goes to ground, and you don't see him for 6 weeks. So we're staying very far away from Wilfred.
He's like a booby trap, isn't he? Like in the old kids' movies where they put like basically like a blanket over a hole in the floor, but then put like a nice juicy piece of steak on it for a lion.
That is Zaha's face on top of it.
That is what he is, because he's obviously, got a lot of talent and does score sporadic goals, and it's almost like every time they have a good run of fixtures, you just think, well, he might not be a bad differential, but he always is. And I agree with you, Camo. But someone who's actually done quite the opposite whenever people have needed him to, that also caught my eye this week, now that Firmino's out, you have to speak about Jota. I don't think he returned on the weekend, but he played where he's always going to play when Firmino's not playing. So he's he's a good player in the best attacking team in the league, in my mind, is Liverpool, and he's out of position because he's, you know, he's playing as their number nine and obviously a midfielder in the game that's quite cheap in the sevens, I think. And decent fixtures, Arsenal, Southampton, Everton, Wolves and Aston Villa. Firmino, he's obviously going to come back eventually, but it'll probably coincide nicely with when Mo and Sadio both go to the African
tournament. I think Jurgen said...
It's a good time to buy him.
Yeah, I think Jurgen said about 4 weeks he was expecting Firmino to miss. So if that's taken out the international break, you give three good games of Jota in, which for me is enough to invest in him at 7 million. So he's talking about transfer.
And those other guys, just as I said, they just about go after that. So
yeah, and
it has to be on your mind.
We'll talk about it later, but I think he'll be in my transfer plans, not this week, but next week. And the reason for not this week is probably coincides well with what caught my eye this week, which is Arsenal's defence. I've invested pretty heavily in him in my wild card 5 or 6 weeks ago now with Ramsdale and Ben White, and they've clipped five out of nine clean sheets in that time. So 5 clean sheets in 9 games, which has been pretty superb. And Ramsdale's finding himself in the bonus points quite a bit too. So I think you look at the fixture ticker that they've got on FPL website, and it looks tough. So obviously they've got Liverpool this week, which I'll be leaving Ben White out for clearly and just playing Ramsdale. But then it's Newcastle, Manchester United and Everton. Like Manchester United and Everton, I don't think come with the same sort of threat that they might once have, maybe even Everton to a lesser extent, and then Southampton, and then West Ham, who seem to be fine, but then Leeds, Norwich, Wolves after that. So I think it's worth looking at it. And I think with Sanchez missing this week with the red card that he got, whether people are looking to shift him on or whether they just keep him for 1 week, but investing in that that Arsenal defence might be the go. And that's why I'll be holding off for Jota this week, just for 1 week until they miss that game.
Yeah, I put Tavares on as a watch last week as well, another Arsenal defender, 4.3 million, played 90 again. So he's, you know, it's Camo's man. Tierney is probably who's holding
that's,
out.
That's the thing. Like, Tierney could be back at any stage. That's the thing, like literally any week. That's what, every week you leave it, Tierney's closer to one week to being back, I guess. But
yeah, that's what Arteta said. He said that pretty much he couldn't drop him, even though Tierney's been playing well. He'd only come back and trained for 2 days at full training. So he just wasn't physically
so the boat might have passed, but maybe there'd be an Arsenal enough out there who had him on the field at 4.3 million for those. I think he didn't get any attacking returns, but his numbers were off the charts for touches in the box among defenders. So it's a bit unlucky because he got the clean sheets, but obviously no other returns. Speaking of right backs, AA, 2 assists, should have had 2 assists. Sadio obviously missed an absolute sitter and then he scored a goal. I just can't believe some people don't have him. Like, even last year when he was out of form, you still had to have him. And now, yeah, he's such a good player, and he's going to be taking those free kicks all year, and they want him crossing the ball into the box all year.
They were superb, weren't they?
He's worth 9 million, really. Yeah.
They were just beautiful. That goal, and then, that one, that ball to Mane was just superb. I think he's got to be a captain option, really. The way that he can get clean sheets, attacking returns, he's probably able to rival Mo a lot of the time, I reckon. And, you know, at less than 8 million. I mean, you're going to look at bringing blokes like Sun in who get subbed off and don't even have a shot on target for 10.5. So,
And Cancelo as well is obviously not as much of a must have. And, you know, we're even getting stuck into him a little bit last week, but he's got 4 assists in the last 2 games he's played. Obviously, one of them being the Champions League game, but he's on fire. I thought Walker was going to not play, which Cancelo's record as a right back is much better in terms of attacking return. So I was pretty excited by that. And I was at the pub on Saturday night when the Manchester derby was on. I saw he had the early assist and I just thought, I'm going to talk about this in the podcast. When he plays right back, he just keeps returning. But Walker did play and he was left back, but he still got 2. So, but there is a little gem that if Walker is out, it's probably a good time to get Cancelo, because I think
speaking of good deliveries, that Reece James ball to Havertz was unbelievable.
Did you see? Have you seen the video, like the fan filmed one from the front row? Have you seen that?
I think
Gianni from the community posted it. It's just outright. Obviously, it looks good on a broadcast camera, but I think it sort of can make you feel a bit more realistic or put it into better perspective when the fan films it. And it's just so low and hard and so effortless. Yeah, well, it's the only way Havertz can probably get an attack in return is if he gets hit like that. But, yeah, Reece James is a really good player. We're talking about how good AA is, and he kicks it just as well as AA, but he's got, you know, serious wheels to worry a defence and get him behind as well. So
he's just always got that cloud over his head, though, like always got that rotation cloud once Aspilicueta's back over his head, yeah. I feel.
Is Aspilicueta still the captain of Chelsea, I think? So, like,
yeah, I think. Every time he's fit and ready to go, Aspilicueta, it seems like he plays. So it'll be interesting to follow that over the next few weeks anyway. What about this week coming up, Camo? What are you thinking? Obviously, we've got the international break. So what are your plans? Are you going to hold your transfers? Are you going to do them early? What's the go?
I think I'll probably hold. I would have liked to have seen more from Son. I think we all thought he was going to haul on the weekend. But I just think... the automatic, I was going to take a neg four and get him in for De Bruyne and then probably Tierney to Cancelo. But wasn't too impressed by what I saw. Thinking maybe just Tierney to Reguilon. I think he had two shots. He probably could have scored. And he was playing a lot higher and quite attacking in that Conte sort of style of football. So I reckon could go away from getting the City defender this week and maybe look to probably move on Rudiger in the next few weeks. Chelsea they've got a couple of the tougher teams. I know they're probably fixture proof, but I think probably Rudiger, even though he's just consistent, it'd probably be good to just diversify my defence a little bit more. But I'll see how I go. I'll probably pull the trigger on one of those soon, but the last thing I want is an injury in this international break and you got to take a negative four that you're forced to. So, I'll wait and see. I think probably with Tierney, the boat sailed with him. You were talking about their fixtures before. I think it's probably time just to upgrade him. He did well, but he probably missed a few too many games to call it a successful transfer, unfortunately. But yeah, still plenty of questions to ponder. I think I'll have a clearer picture by the time we roll around to next week. Who are you going to bring them, the boy?
Yeah, well, I'm completely sold in what I want to do, but obviously a lot will probably change because of what's going to come out of the international games. But it's just going to be one change, which is going to be a pretty easy tidy up, which will be Veltman out for Lamptey. So you've got a good look at what the Brighton fixtures are from having Veltman there and looking at it. And yeah, I think as I've already spoken plenty about Lamptey, I think it's just a pretty easy move. And yeah, one that's probably a week too late, but I'll even play him this week over Rudiger. I just think Lamptey, with his attacking threat and the likelihood of Brighton getting a clean sheet against Aston Villa, probably means you'd rather that than Rudiger. I'll even probably put the V on Lamptey. Like, it's sort of useless because, you know, Mo is going to play against Arsenal as the captaincy. But, yeah, I don't mind him for a cheeky attack in return. And
it's a good show of faith, though, the VC.
Yeah, I really like Brighton for a clean sheet. So, the little man, my favourite man, Tariq, vice captain this week. Welcome.
It's just like giving him a little confidence booster in front of all the boys. You're vice captain of the club this week.
I'd like to thank Joel Veltman for his 11 game weeks of service as well. He had a 2 week stretch there where I put him on the field and he got 6 and 7. So I won't forget that. Joel, thanks for your 11 weeks and 23 points. When I needed you on the field, you return twice and the rest of the time you're on the bench. So it was a pretty nice run by Joel and he's warmed it up for Tariq nicely. Maiko, what are you looking at for changes in a fortnight's time?
I mentioned it earlier. I'm thinking about fucking Tony off, to be honest. I'm just sick of him. I don't know. And one person I've got in my sights that might be a bit of a left field one is Callum Wilson. So he was threw on goal when Sanchez clipped him with a disgusting FIFA challenge on the weekend. But he's just looks pretty dangerous. And with that new manager bounce that everyone likes to talk about.
The band's back together. Eddie Howe's got the band back together.
Yeah, exactly. And he has performed well under him before. And they've got Brentford this weekend and then Norwich and Burnley in two of their next three after that as well. So I just think, like, I'm not bringing him in at his price point, which is like 6.8 or something, to go completely off. Like, I just think he's good for a major here and there, week on week. So might be even him for Tony and De Bruyne down to someone. So just tossing out whether that's going on Sun now or whether I go all the way down to a Jota, or I talked about Trossard last week, and I have this thing where if I think about bringing someone in and they perform, I can't bring them in because I'm just scarred from it. So I probably won't go to him. But I think if I do leave Son out and he returns, I'll hate myself for it. So I think I will just go to Son, even though their performances have been pretty poor. So I think that'll be me. Looking like Wilson and Son.
I like Bernardo for a transfer in. I mean, another return on the weekend. His last four games, he's gone 8-1, 5-11. You know, I reckon he's flying under the radar a little bit, especially with Phil Foden at a similar price point. That's who I've even contemplated as a bit of a straight swap for the.
Yeah, I did. That's another question I had, whether I try and get some City coverage in with Foden for De Bruyne, but I don't think I'd go to Silva. I don't know why. I just think when you watch City, is just a bit too deep lying for me, but. I'd cheer you on from the sideline if you were going to go in there, Camo. I would.
Do we think Eddie Howe will try to bring the band back together, just to go back to him, go get Aki back there, get Mings back there? Would be good to see. Joshua King.
Ryan Fraser.
Really?
He's still at Newcastle already, isn't he, Ryan Fraser?
I think he's still there. And they've got Jamal Lewis as well. So he's got the makings of bringing the band back together, which can work sometimes and obviously can't work sometimes. But... He's got a decent start, and good luck to him. I think Newcastle, if they sign players well, can be a really exciting club for us FPL managers after Christmas. So, I don't mind the shout of Callum Wilson, especially with how fit the forwards have been. Like we've talked about, that's a good shout, I reckon. He who's brave enough to do it will be rewarded, potentially, I reckon.
Hopefully. I'll be interested to see and cheering on some returns. What about what's plans for the... international break, boys? I'm actually going to be watching some international football myself, heading up to flying Melbourne to Sydney now that the borders are open, which is good to watch Socceroos play Saudi Arabia in the World Cup qualifiers, which would be nice. Watch some live football for the first time in a while. So that's my plans for the international break. What do we got going on?
I think I'll switch off, probably send Tariq Lamptey a few DMs and make sure he's resting up and let him know he's going to be the vice captain. And apart from that, probably not think too much about FPL. Just, pray for another 8 green arrows in a row once we come back, which would have me right up there. So
I'd say you might be number one.
It's exciting for you. It's exciting for you to be going to the game, though. That'll be great. Obviously, Australia versus Saudi Arabia. 100% attendance allowed, which is the first time in a while at any Australian sporting event. So, yeah. What about you, Camo? What are you going to get up to, my friend?
Oh, I'll probably just try and catch up on some sleep, I think. Sick of getting waking up in the middle of the night, checking the scores, worried that my boys have failed. So it'll be nice to sleep through the night.
I had a horrific sleep because I was starting Brogier over Gallagher and Diaz. It was one of the most horrific sleeps I've ever had. And then when I woke up halfway through the night and saw Armstrong was starting, it was just horrific, unfortunately. And then when he scored...
It was like a dream. I did that on Sunday night, and it was mid-game for the two games we were on, and Smith Rowe and Rafinha both had a goal. I thought it must have been a dream because they were obviously the two midfielders I had playing. And funnily enough, actually, it'd be an embarrassing. I don't think we have the digital skills to make this, but I think I said that Smith Rowe won't score a goal like that again. Talking about his goal that he got 2 weeks ago. And if you put them side by side, it's actually the identical goal. He shot it to the same spot and he celebrated the same way. So I got that one wrong, but I was happy to have his picks.
It's good of you to put your hand up, the boy. Well, boys, it's been good to be back with you. I'm sure you missed me last week, and I definitely miss speaking all things FPL with you. So enjoy the international break. Like I said, I'm going to be off watching some football, and I'll enjoy that. So enjoy the break. We'll come back refreshed next week and be ready to keep our run-up of green arrows going together.
Beautiful, my son. Enjoy.